Hey, what's going on, guys? Eric Black here. Parker Minor over there, right over there, actually. We can almost high five, but I ran out of hand sanitizer, and I know where his hands have been, so Ooh. Not going to happen. Welcome to the show. This is Rockcast, and if you're not familiar with Rockcast, first of all, thank you for trying us out. We do appreciate that. You're going to regret every minute of it, but that's fine. That's on you now. You have pressed play. You have downloaded it, and now you're watching it. So
that's on your problem.
Yeah, this is all your fault now. But if you are watching us and you'd like to listen to us, you can go find us anywhere where podcasts are heard. If you are listening to us but you'd like to watch us, that sounded creepy and weird a little
bit.
That's
really weird.
Yeah.
You can find us on Pornhub.
That's right. /Rockcast. There it is right there. I think we just lost three sponsors.
All the places.
Yeah, everywhere. Anyway. You can find us on YouTube, broadcastshow.com. You can go check out all the links there. If you're actually, most of the bios that we have out there have all of those links in that link bio. Bio link?
Yeah.
Link bio.
Link in the bio.
In the bio and the link. The link, there's a link somewhere that you click in a bio. I don't know. Doesn't matter. You'll figure it out. You're most likely smarter than us. But anyway, if you want to know more, go check it out. If not, why are you still here? Go on. Move forward with your life. And just cut ties. Let's move forward. Okay? That's what we need to do here. I gave you a minute. So there we go.
Good. All right. We have nobody left. Let's do this.
Nobody is left. My mom says hello. Thank you, Mom, for watching and keeping the stream alive. Do appreciate that. It's very, very kind of you. We've got another wonderful guest on the show again this week, this month, this year. Whatever it is for you, doesn't really matter. You're listening, you're watching. We appreciate that. Thank you for that. Great guest. Parker, I actually kind of want you to do this one because I feel like I take that and I just run with it.
I just think it makes more sense on this one.
Because I'm feeling it in my gut and I already pooped. So I know it's not that. I feel it deep down in the gut area that
I bet you do.
Parker should just do this.
Well, you know, this is what we do. The weird part about it before I do this is that there's two, I'm going to get really confused because there's two names that are very similar on this show. We'll get to that right now, actually. Let's do it. So we got tonight, today, whenever the hell you're watching this or listening to it, we have the man, the myth, the freaking legend, James Black. A finger 11. Welcome, sir.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're doing well. We have. It's been a minute since
it has been a minute.
Yeah, because everybody's now back on tour. It was kind of a little. We had some postponements, some rescheduling, some all of that good stuff. Because I would rather them be on tour than me being a selfish little prick. So
that's true.
Go on tour, but yeah, I think we're okay. We good?
We're okay. You know what though? I was trying to explain it and I totally messed myself up because I was like, there's two names that are very similar. And then I was like, blah, 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 in my brain. Right. And I was like, it's Eric Black. And it's I was Eric like, no, Black. It's yeah. James Black from Finger
yeah.
Left.
See? Yeah. It's very,
it got me
from the, yeah. from, the Black, Castle Black, let's say. Yeah,
there it is. Castelli.
That's right.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fine. Well,
we're glad to have you, man.
Oh yeah, it's good to be here.
You doing okay? What's been going on, man?
Not much. I've been just, you know, writing songs. I've been able to do that. And you know, Finger 11's been getting together and putting together some riffs and piecing stuff together. Just before the whole pandemic kicked in, we were kind of getting ready to put some stuff out. And then we kind of weren't able to follow through on some stuff. And so right now we're just trying to get the thing rolling again. And time has passed. So now stuff that was really exciting is 2 years old and you want to inject it with some sort of newness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would guess everybody is different now than they were 2 years ago.
I think people would be interested to hear new Finger 11 no matter what.
Oh yeah, it's just more, it's a in a self-serving way really. You do it for a purpose and hope that incidentally other people like it too, but really I don't know, it's kind of sitting in a can for 2 years. You're like,
Well, we're used to sitting on a can for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I heard the intro of the show, so I'm fully aware of all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just want to remind the audience that James said yes to this. It was
he said
yes. He said no, this is a good idea. So we say this to everybody, but we just want everybody to know this is not on us anymore. Past this point,
yeah,
this is on James.
It's our verbal disclaimer.
This moment where you're sort of halfway through a joint and you get a text from someone and you're pretty much willing to say yes to anything.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it's not long after you kind of have this itching regret of like, oh, fuck, when is that? And why did I say yes to that?
Why?
And now we're here. So thanks for validating all that dread.
Yeah, no problem at all. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's just all regrets from here. So just embrace it. That's what we do.
I guess it's something to do. That's the best part.
That's right. Yeah.
With grownups.
That's right.
Right.
I have like a little 7.5-year-old kid. So I spend most time at a lower, like higher speed, but lower eye level.
I can tell you, you're on a lower level.
You're going to be disappointed with this conversation.
Oh, yeah, I got to dumb it down for you guys. Yeah.
That's right. That's about our level and our IQ level. So,
well, this is perfect then.
Yeah.
we're totally in your comfort zone right now.
Oh, goodness. All right. So let me just say this. Now you have been with Finger 11 since day one. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. It came about in sort of a little couple of pairings when Scott, our singer, he was always sort of the central guy in it. He was with his brother. He was always jamming with him, and then he was jamming with me, and then he was jamming with some of the other guys. And so he sort of was the inflex point, but it was really like, yeah, the day we all played together, it was like, okay, that's when it formed. And our drummer was like the Spinal Tap thing, you know, that we've lost drummers along the way, but the rest was really solid. So
yeah
it's a rare thing, man. We've been out there on the road and met a lot of bands, and
yeah,
just to weather the storm in a group and still feel good about it, it's pretty rare. It's cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But we're really slow at doing things, so you know, it's hard to get sick of anything when we do it this slow.
Yeah. Well, it's something to where, you know, there's been a lot of craziness, and it feels like, to me at least, that 2020 didn't actually exist at all. Like, we skipped over most of 2019 and then all of 2020. So I feel like we've just eliminated 2 years without eliminating it. But anyway, it is what it is. And hopefully, you know, we're all getting back to whatever we're going to call normal. Things are starting to move forward. There are some good horizons.
If you do want to go back and revisit 2020, we can call my good friend Doc Brown. Doc,
yeah. Bring him in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's
back.
Right.
Actually,
let's 88. What is it? 88 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts.
1.21. Yeah, it's 88 miles per hour. That's right.
By the way, what the hell is a gigawatt?
It's that.
Yeah, it entirely exists within the Back to the Future realm. Yeah.
Speaking of, I told Eric, I think I told you this one time. When I'm driving in Nashville, look, these interstates are all jacked up. So they're all fixed now on my end of the world. I don't know about yours, Eric. But
we're getting there.
In Nashville, if I need to get somewhere and I know I'm going to be speeding, I'm going to on purpose go 88 miles an hour. So when I get pulled over, he'll be like, sir, do you know how fast you're going? I'm like, damn right, I know how fast I was going. I was trying to get back to the future. What are you doing, man?
That's right. And you pulled me over. So I don't even know if it worked. Now I got to try it all over again.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That's great.
Good story, bro.
That movie, just as someone who's a fan of, like time travel stories, it's kind of hard. You can't really pick it apart. It's kind of seamless in its own time travel, time loop
my
logic.
Favorite.
It's
my favorite.
Masterful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That definitely is about my speed. Like 80s, 70s pop culture.
Yeah.
That stuff. Yeah.
They just don't make movies like that anymore.
Not really. No. The even the. Just the sentiment of it, like, it's I don't know. Yeah. Everything about it, like what's defined as wholesome even is different than like, you couldn't get away with half the jokes that are in it. And there's nothing wrong with it, but this new, this new weird world has, it's not necessarily
humor.
It hasn't even raised the bar. It's just kind of moved the bar. That's the part that's kind of frustrating, where you can't really, it's hard to articulate against it without just seeming some asshole who's stuck in the mud. Right. Really, it's like, well, I might just not think it's a good idea. Like, I don't know. These 2 years, like it's like a bunch of grown up stuff bottled up. You just want to vent it wherever you can. And like, okay, slow down.
Yep.
So well, yeah, like I, as much as it's been about the whole world and all the other bullshit that you see everywhere. Yeah. It's also been like super insular, I guess, like what, like self-reflection or almost forced self-reflection, where
that's true.
Everybody's going through it in the same way of like, oh my God, do I fucking like,
I don't even want to see like, myself in a self-reflection.
Yeah. Like it's like, am I like that? Am I, it, like, I don't know. You're just getting almost too much of a, no one's supposed to get that good of a look at their own self.
No.
Like
no.
Go out, get out there.
Yep. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I never got the memo on the beards, fellas.
Well, I've never grown it like this before. I haven't, a lot of time at home to
do whatever you want
to think about it a different way.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's
really cool. I definitely have taken advantage of it as far as writing and stuff like that. And writing, like I've been working on a solo record, and that kind of has come when I can chisel out the time. It's
that's cool.
It's benefited from having the, I guess, a break in society logic and isolation and all that shit.
Yeah.
So some of it's really, something cool's come of it, but I would prefer to just go the fuck back to normal.
No, we agree. We were very excited when Nashville decided to bring back live shows and in-person shows. We were very excited. Now we, the first show we went to, however, we forgot how to act. We forgot how to do what we do because we've been, we've been gone for a while. So it took a little bit for our brains to actually articulate what we should be saying. But
everyone's out of practice.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like the first day of school kind of thing. You're like, oh, do I remember how to talk to people I don't really know that well?
Yep. And Zoom has been good. We appreciate Zoom. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather be, doing what we do in person, obviously. But
of course,
it serves a purpose. It's done us well, and that's how we've gotten this show, where it's at. So, but I still, I don't know, man. It's a love-hate. It's a love-hate.
We'd rather be in your basement right now.
There's no replacement for kicking together.
We'll come over.
Just later. Even just wasting time with somebody else is more fun in a way than being productive with people via some medium. That's hard to explain to people too, because being industrious and having, I don't know, earning, like that's it. People don't really get the idea of like, but it's just fun to sit around and do nothing with your buddies and
nothing at all.
Maybe write a song, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's a luxury, but I really see in people like it's a foreign idea to even want to do that. Like, oh my God, how could I do that? If I have this, I got to do this and I got to do this. It's like, holy shit, man, just try not doing any of that stuff for a second.
Just don't do it. Yeah. And I think too, there's, that's what I was kind of thinking about. The future of music, of what's going to happen because of this whole situation that we've been in and been through. What does that mean for music? Now, obviously, because of the amount of time, a lot of bands, a lot of artists have been able to write, as you have said, and maybe even complete contracts, label contracts, because of that, which is awesome. I think that's an amazing thing. But I wonder, is this going to be like a weird like angst kind of emo thing coming back in, or are we just going to go and just,
like a backlash of some kind?
I wonder. That's kind of where I'm at.
I wonder too about, and I was talking with a neighbor of mine who's, he's like a corporate headhunter, but his job used to be meeting at bars and coffee shops about placing people in corporate gigs. And now he does it over Zoom. Ugh. And so, and even my wife, she does some corporate event stuff where she's hosting events, and she, like, you just see the whole landscape of it has changed, and you can get really good at looking good on camera. And with very few things, you can kind of up your game on Zoom and stuff. So it makes it, it conjures for me the idea that there will be a new type of artist that's really good at that, that may not really be good at being in a, like a, in a club and performing and nailing it. But when they're in their comfort zone and they have the right lights and they own their own little domain, and it's, I don't, it, it's neither good nor bad, but there's, it's when we, you know, we've been around for a while, and we've seen sort of the social media, like, change from one, from MySpace to Facebook to Twitter to the evolution of it, and trying to surf in front of it kind of thing. But when you see like Instagram, someone who really, really succeeds at Instagram and actually has a career doing it. That's a job. Like you got into rock and roll to make songs and get better at playing guitar and like that. You didn't get into it to have a job doing social media, selfie, like selling yourself to cosmetic companies and all the things that are required. It's like, it's a, I don't know. There's a strange gap. That's like, you know, unfortunately some of the best bands might just really suck at social media. And it's just, I guess it's just kind of like the old days, you know, if you can't get yourself out there, you won't get noticed. But it sort of enables some people who aren't good at the thing. But they look good doing it. And it's false credibility. But I mean, I guess that's always happened with pop.
But do you think, do you think there's still a need or still an opportunity for things like guerrilla marketing, even in a digital age like there is now? Do you think that still is a thing?
Yeah. And I think even some really creative guy could come along and use all the same tricks and do something that we just, we all kind of like, you know, the videos when the White Stripes showed up, like these really simple, basic things that like, oh my God, somebody did that. And like, wow. It's so
we were mind blown.
So I wouldn't be surprised if someone just sort of somehow through Zoom and this little frame here creates something as iconic as some of the biggest records. But it's going to, I don't know, it's not happening all the time, that's for sure. And you see like like, I sound like a crotchety old guy, but like you see these Zoom concerts and stuff, and you, I've sort of, something becomes revealed to me of like, I guess I like the gathering. It's not the concert. Like if I could sit here with six cameras and watch it perfectly unimpeded, I don't want that. I want to get bumped around and smell like cigarette smoke and beer and everything.
That is it.
They, maybe you can order from Amazon some machine that just spits terrible smells at you or something. I'm not sure, but it's just, it's been really cool in that sense of like distilling, like, oh, I realize what I do like about this. And it's it's not the, I want to see my favorite artist do his thing. It's like, oh, I can watch that online, and it doesn't interest me.
So that's a very good, that's a very good point too, is we started to notice that, that a lot of the people that are going back to shows, going back to concerts, going back to whatever festivals, whatever it's going to be. These people are, I mean, obviously ridiculously excited about going, doesn't matter what genre it is. They're at a festival. They're excited. But what we're noticing is because of a, you know, because of all the friends we've made in the industry, most of them are on stage or behind the scenes at that show. their excitement is nothing like what we've ever seen them be. You know, and I'm assuming you're the same way because it's, you know, it's affected us all.
Yeah, there's got to be a great hunger, right?
Yeah, and yeah. it's amazing to us to see these people on stage in their element, doing what they love to do, but in a whole new light. And the common thing we're hearing is that, you know, we took it for granted.
Oh yeah,
whether you knew it or not, you took it for granted. Same on our side. And now they're realizing that what they had, and they, you know, embrace it a lot more now. So,
well, yeah, like you think of the last show that you did was the last show you've done. Like it, you didn't treat it that way. I mean, maybe it was at the end of the tour. We might have had a special little moment of like, this is the last show we'll do for a while. But
right.
You don't think that. Like I was on. On Netflix, watched that Bo Burnham special that he made Inside.
Man, and yeah,
at first, I thought this is going to be some cheesy cash in or something, and it's not. It's really brilliantly done, but
really cool, wasn't it?
In it, he sort of discloses that like he had chosen to kind of walk away from doing shows. What, like 5 years beforehand, and now that he can't, he's realizing like what a fucking idiot I am. Like, why, if I can, I should.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good thing that just spreads across everyone. As soon as you can, like, fuck yes, let's do it twice as much.
He put all that stuff up himself too. In that,
oh man, it's a marvelous thing. Like, it struck me really. It actually inspired a lot of with my solo stuff, I don't fancy myself a singer necessarily as like a lyricist who has a voice that can do it. And watching that special, you see something about, his voice is great, but it's not the kind of voice that you would put on like a record. It's kind of showy. It's kind of like a musical voice, right? But when you're seeing something special is going on with it, it doesn't matter. You just sort of love it, right? And so it dawned on me as I'm making my solo record of like, and maybe it's a visual element to when I decide to release it or something, but it's all about context. Like, I don't have to have the best voice if the right circumstance is happening. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter that his voice isn't good because look what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? The
room's coming around him alive. It's okay, we're paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah. So you can kind of think of ways to, I guess, serve your insecurity to be something that's, I guess, hopefully not a factor, but build it into the idea. I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it's
totally get that. And that's something that,
yes, I totally get it.
Making your weakness part of the charm of it, and almost like ensuring, like, look, there's going to be a part of it that's, and I don't think I'm such a terrible singer either, but coming out and sort of saying like, look, I know this part isn't the strong part, but it doesn't matter because of this. So I don't know, that special really unlocked for me like a.
Yeah,
I guess just a deeper comfort of singing. I'm just been like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. It's not about it's about the song and the story of it and how I'm going to do it and all that as much as it is just about my voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, but that's good though, because that to me, that says that you're putting more soul into it. You're putting more passion into it and you're being real about it. You know, with this show, we have auto-tune on right now just because we suck at talking. So
I know, I noticed that.
but
that's really the case with and in Finger 11, I never really got it with Scott, who is always respectful to try other people's ideas, but if we did a cover song, or he just sang his own words better than any other thing, and for a long time it was sort of like, look, man, if you tell me to play this song, I'll play it. If you tell me this song, but why just play along? And you don't realize like that extra connection to the words. If you either give a shit about what the song is or you wrote them, you deliver them with that thing that for a lot of people, that's the magic. Like the singer can't describe to the the idiot guitar player. Like,
yeah,
no, the thing is, when I believe it, it turns on. And when I don't, it doesn't. I don't know how to describe it. So, yeah, you're right. Trying to find that genuine thing in yourself. And
well, and it's capture. I can kind of relate to that. So I'm also in the studio doing like a remix of a metal project that I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
And we hadn't done anything for about 6 or 7 years since, I mean, it's just life happens and you just, you know, you do things. So we're getting back into the studio doing our thing. And, it'd been a long time. I kind of forgot how to sing, forgot how to, you know, yell and scream and do all this stuff. But so we do all the practices, we do all the initial things that you have to do to warm your voice up and all that stuff. I'm drinking this weird tea crap that the producer says.
What is it that you do, Eric?
Drink. Yeah. I sing. Don't and I
you
yell.
Bowels? You snort anything like not. Illegal.
Yes, I'm addicted to cocaine. Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
But do you have a neti pot or any of that weird shit?
Oh, that stuff does work, man. That works like crazy.
Scott used to do that. I can't understand why.
Neti I don't know.
It's so weird though.
But anyway, we interrupted you.
No, it's good. Method, man. So we're looking at, you know, so I'm singing into the microphone, which is generally almost like where, you know, where this microphone is and, you know, as a normal studio situation. And it was good. I was getting into it. I was getting back into it, reliving what that song meant and all that stuff. And just something was off. I just couldn't figure out. It was fine. I could sing. I could do all that stuff. But mentally, something was off and I couldn't figure out what it was. So we got through the vocals on that day. We came back the next time so that we could do melodies and backgrounds and the screaming parts of it. So I did the you know, all the other stuff, and we did save the screaming for last because it's screaming.
Yeah.
And I started singing, I started yelling into the mic, and just like, you know, just like a normal studio mic. And I was like, okay, this is okay. It's fine. It's good. It's fine. It's okay. And then, you know, the producer was like, well, would you prefer to have a stage mic? And I was like, I didn't think about that. I was like, yeah, let's give that a shot. And I took it. And as soon as it was in my hand, my other hand automatically did the chord wind thing that I do normally. And I started like, you know, doing all this stuff. And then I did it. And I was like, whoa, where was this at for the last 6 years? And I didn't realize how much that I missed doing that and just, you know, making music and doing it. We've been on this side quite often, which is fine. We love this side. But, you know, as musicians, there's something that just won't leave.
Eric's been hanging out with Rick DeJesus. DeJesus.
Yeah.
That lead is way too long. He's been wrapping that cord around.
That's right. That's right.
But that is something we did in the studio too. Scott sort of sang better sometimes when he was trolling around the control rooms instead of hands off with the expensive mic.
Yep.
It's amazing that, like, you think, in some ways, like, oh, the most expensive thing and the best equipment and the best sound booth would be the best. And it's not. It's like, here's your shitty vocal mic. And
that's
what?
Right. That's right.
Because it's all about the attitude. And like, if you've heard any of the like soloed, like Hendrix soloed guitar tracks and stuff like that, just how mucky and buzzy and like, so we've been in studios where it's like you're going into the process. Like, if by renting the studio, you're renting the way they do music.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's great because they're the experts. And sometimes it's like, fuck, we don't want to do it that way. Like, so I don't know. I'm kind of on a tangent, but
we get it.
Yeah, totally. But I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things that we're going to see over the next, you know, 2 to 5 years, I guess. When these new bands and things come out, even some of the other ones, even some of the older ones I've learned. You guys, I know, have learned some stuff during this time. You know, there's countless bands that we've talked to that took this time seriously, and they made again. I wasn't joking when I said I think some people are going to complete label contracts because of this. I know for a fact there's probably at least four that I know of right now that have done that, because of all the stuff they've written. So it sucks, but at the same time, I think that it was much needed because we haven't really had a break like that. And I say that, it's weird saying that, but just to kind of reminisce, just to kind of see what we had, to miss it, you know, to miss it and to make sure that we understand what we had and that we never let it go again.
I think because you have to have a, yeah, like there's no choice but to see the silver lining or feel shitty about it. So I agree with you completely, because the other choice is, I mean, it fucking happened. So if you hated it, then you hated it, but it still happened.
It still happened. Yep.
So you're right. It'll happen. Hopefully some really life altering stuff comes out of it that cascades through everyone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I'm excited. Like I still haven't yet found the proper time and space to execute what I want to do, but it's written and it's, I've never sort of, I've never made anything like in that process of like where it's all pre-cooked kind of thing. I just have to go and do it somewhere and find, like, I guess sort of what I was poorly trying to articulate of just find the venue for it, not like a live venue, but like, just how I'm going to do it so that it performs and you get what it is. Cause it's very simple guy and an acoustic guitar and maybe a couple of other layers, but it's like I definitely use the time to get introspective, but to execute it, I haven't figured that one out yet. Like, I think when school starts, maybe I'll put that time, put that time to good use.
That's
when does that start up there?
It's coming, like maybe 5 days or something like that.
Oh, that's close.
It is. So I just kind of scramble, to kind of try to take advantage of being able to do nothing, but also fill it with the time to do everything, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so, I know exactly what you're saying.
And then at all costs, try to keep your schedule so open that you don't feel stressed about having obligations, but at the same time, stress that you don't have anything going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's a never winning somersault, but
that is a feeling that we know all too well.
So this was good to have on my calendar, just as a little an approaching flag. Hey, I remember that thing's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then it's gone. Okay.
I'm cool. That's why we do the show, so that we feel cool, because otherwise we're complete total losers. So thanks for helping us.
I kind of come to grips with that part myself. Over time, I think, I don't know, secretly I must have been embracing it, but it didn't take too many weeks before I was wearing my track pants to the grocery store and everywhere else. So there was some sort of fashion, pandemic fashion going on in my own soul.
I was
like, you know what? Admit it, buddy. You've been waiting to do this for a while. I never really went to college or university, so I never went around with slippers and track pants on.
In Tennessee, they do that all year long, every single year.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Well, I get it now. I've learned a lot, and it's, I mean, in truth, actually, I have learned a lot about a side of things I thought was opposite to what I think. Like, it's been really eye-opening. Yeah.
Well, and again, I think that comes back to, you know, what we were saying earlier about, we really needed, you said it very well, but I'm going to suck at repeating that, but essentially we needed to just focus. We needed to just relax here for a second and figure out, you know, what we were doing. Slow down a minute.
Yeah.
Take some time, figure some things out, get some things accomplished, and then, get back into it. So, but it is definitely time to get back into it. Now is a good time. We're ready for that. We're not We're not going to stop doing that. So
spread it all over my face.
Yeah. Well,
just people,
all
things.
All over.
Interesting. Well, we'll delete that. All right. Let me ask you this. Has it sunk in yet? I would imagine that it has, being that you have been going for this long. The success of Finger 11, has it sunk in yet to know that this is a household name?
Oh man, that's a nice thing to hear, that's for sure. I guess probably not, but when we were driving around this last 2 weeks, we kind of tooled around a bunch in Ontario camping and whitewater rafting and all kinds of stuff, and the songs came on the radio a lot in the stretch of the drives, and that Like, it's sort of an unsung victory of like, yeah. really yeah. what we always wanted to be was just part of the music. Like, yeah, of course yeah. that song, like you don't even know who did it. It's just yeah. like, yeah, that's a song that I know
yeah.
for some person.
Yep.
I don't know a world where that song isn't in it. Like,
right.
like,
right.
So minus any real glory where you, I guess, get flashy cars and hot babes, the real victory, the legacy is like, oh man, hopefully when we're dead and gone, this song's come on the radio and like, yeah.
oh,
and they just become, I don't know, you know, it sort of fulfills itself. And like, if a song's around long enough, then it can't go away because it becomes, yeah. so hopefully we got yeah. a couple of those. It's funny. And like, I'm only half joking, like really the initial pursuit in rock and roll, it's all that vanity of like, you yeah. just want all the goods, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's not, yeah, it's like the tortoise and the hare in a way. Like, I definitely don't think that, like my imagination and my creativity is far deeper and richer now than ever before. But in truth, we're older, right?
I think Finger 11 will be going on for another century. I mean, look at Alice in Chains. They've That's been right. going on for like three centuries.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? I saw them. I mean, it's not recently now, but it was with like the new singer.
He's good, man.
I had thought Ooh. To just dismiss the whole, like, we were on a bill with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had bumped into Jerry Cantrell and just coming out of the bathroom, and it just, like, I recalled a little bit of teenage, like, oh my God, like, that's Jerry Cantrell.
Right.
So I was like, fuck it, I'll go. Like, you go on those shows, and after you're done playing, normally you just get into the free booze and you yep. go and maybe see a couple songs of who's playing on the bill, but really you're just running around being a drunk ass. But that night I just decided, like, oh, I'll go see how they open the show, and I don't know who this new singer is. And like, yeah, I didn't move for the whole thing. It was
yeah.
like
yeah,
song so after talented. Song after song.
Yeah.
And it yeah. and the singer was nailing it, and the like, it was just it was great.
Yeah.
But I had sort of in my mind wanted to like, they're old, they're past it now. It's not even yeah. Lane Staley yeah. anymore. It's so stupid. I know people he sounds probably do just that.
Like Lane Staley.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
And I bet you people do that to us as well. Like, it's just, you get to this obnoxious point of dismissing things that have been around a while, but really, fuck, they're almost better than ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I guess that's,
I don't know, good, man. It's funny. Like, a lot of radio stations are coming back around to the 90s, I've noticed. And I think it's because,
they are, yep.
I think it's because also, too, they want to like give people a filter, like, used to and comfortable with the pandemic, so it's kind of like a yeah, happy yeah. thing, so it's bringing it back. So I mean, I know I've heard a lot of Finger 11 going around,
but there's a visceral thing to rock that's like, for the most part, until you get into like drum machines and Nine Inch Nails kind of rock, it sounds like a bunch of guys in a room, and there's something really, every once in a while it has to come back to that
yeah,
because
yeah.
too much of just really good produced keyboard stuff.
Yeah.
After a while, there's no room. There's no muck. There's no hair kind of thing. Yep. So it definitely will come around again. It just, I guess, no matter how it all fits together. I hear some new dancey pop stuff that like, it doesn't really resonate with me, but if some little smug little prick got in there and made the right song with all the affectations of this, the pop tracks, but with yeah. the right attitude that was not fake,
yeah.
like they're like, we could be in for something great. Yeah. I don't know. You know yeah. what I mean? There's something bratty yeah. that's yeah. and entitled about rock and roll. That's appropriate. It's like, yep. yeah, you're young and you're obnoxious. You should be that way.
It's true. It's weird. It's absolutely weird, but no, it's definitely true. And if you if you disagree, then you need to go and just look at in general rock and just
yeah.
look at how they function,
because even like they're young and you're too dumb to know any better, so you just yep. think the world owes you, and there's something yep. I don't know. I know that what in this age of contemplation, maybe that's not the right message, but
yeah,
it's valid, and I think a lot of people who have been stuck inside are probably like, fuck you. I want to kick something over and go, you, yep. I want my fucking life back.
Yep.
Eric and absolutely. I, of course, we were in radio at the Buzz in Nashville. So I was thinking, I was just looking it up too, the Finger 11, the Buzz Fest you guys played. And I was trying to remember what year it was. So I just Googled it. And it literally, the first thing that pops up in like the Google snippet says, LP Field, Nashville, Tennessee. It said somebody's, I guess, review. It says, I went to see Seether and Godsmack and got sucked in by Finger 11 and Bush.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There you go. There you go. So I was just about to say who played on that bill, but that's a pretty good sum up right there. That's great.
Dude, I guess Jacoby.
Yeah.
Oh, man, all those radio festivals and like just getting to rub shoulders with all the other bands that were really doing it. It's just like it's a priceless thing. Like we didn't even know what we're doing until you get home and holy shit, we met this guy. We did this. We played here. Yeah. We did that.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that here again, but it cost $100,000 for us to put that on. So
Yeah.
Gone are the days of that.
Yeah. Oh.
Man,
hopefully they'll come back around. Who fucking knows?
Well, I you know that's a thing.
Holograms, maybe, huh?
Ooh.
Well, I mean, that'd be nice with us. We could just, I could go to bed right now.
Well, I had met a guy on a vacation that like me and my wife, we have this uncanny ability to really strike up, like not just placeholder conversations with people on vacation and just get into like, fuck, what do they do? And this guy was, he was a corporate guy, but he was investing in a hologram company because of this particular event where they wanted the band to be in two places at once. And so they were working and pushing at this hologram technology so that the band could be in the lobby and also in the theater.
I need that for my personal life.
Oh man. And it, just like this guy, it wasn't like me and my stoner buddies dreaming it up. This was like, no, we're developing it. We've got this. Wow. We tried it here. And it was like, holy, this really exists. Like,
wow, that's cool.
What can I do to help? I'll volunteer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, sign me up.
Yeah, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi message. Like, it's just awesome that like somewhere someone's working on that shit. So when everyone's locked up in their house, who knows what's been invented in the last bit because of I'm sick of being inside. How can I invent outside inside?
Yep.
But it's also scary because I think some outside has been traded, and I hope not forever, with some people, you know, like some comforts are too comfortable. They're not good for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is what I mean, what I'm sort of seeing from the other side of things and just being like, you know what, the more this solves a lot of problems, the more dangerous it is because it becomes the, like the linchpin of so many things, like your phone, even being like, you take it away, a lot of things fall.
Yeah.
And so getting more and more consolidated and then putting, like, if you could sort of VR existing and not even leaving your house and all that, it's like, it's getting closer to like, it's great in a TV show, but do we want to do that?
Yeah. Well, for the record, I'm with you on that one, man. I want to be it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. But I don't know. I just, there's something about being together. There's something about being in person. You said it earlier. There's something about just having a show where there are people there having a good time. You can hear, you know, you can hear somebody say, "You suck." That's
you
can do that. You can step in a big puddle of beer. You can whatever it is, you can go to a bathroom. Yeah. Smells like somebody had some sort of bowel issues. I mean,
it was
whatever it is.
It's almost like the parts that you can't account for. Like you just in a night out, you tolerate a bunch of normal stuff that happens because you want to have a good time. And so part of what real life is a bunch of unexpected moments that you tolerate in order to have an experience. And when you're in a clinical thing, there's no accidents. So it's just too perfect. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's,
I agree. I agree.
They're getting to that. Like, they're getting to that point where it's enough to trick some people, I think. But
yeah,
I'm coming out the other side, being like, feeling like an old, like the old brown wizard from Lord of the Rings, who's all about the animals and the trees and stuff.
Well,
but quite a hippie though. I don't really buy for that bullshit either. So I don't know.
You can say that all you'd like, but I don't believe that. I think there's it's not just that. There's something here that it's just, I think it's human nature, honestly. I think that's just what we need, what we crave.
You know, you're right. I think literally human nature is rather than a sort of displaced or like half digitized or something. I don't know.
Yep.
There's some pretty scary notions out there of some people who are in really prominent positions that I don't know. You guys know the band Our Lady Peace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they had a record out years ago called Spiritual Machines. And it struck me. It was a really good one, but it was based on like a book about a guy, Ray Kurzweil's pursuits of and thoughts about the technological singularity of becoming integrating humans and digital and transcending evolution and stuff. And since then, that guy is he's pretty close to the top at Google now. So he's not theorizing as a guy writing a book about it. He's like, if there is a place on Earth that's as close as you can get to crossing the boundary into he's right there. So some stuff that seemed like, oh man, that's cool, 10 years ago is kind of starting to make me scared now.
Yeah, I grew up with Our Lady Peace, man. Me and my best friend did. We were into it.
Their first handful of records were really as kids from Canada.
Like Clumsy?
They were, Clumsy. And Navid, the first one, just the edge on it.
Dude.
But it was sort of like a local band that didn't sound Canadian and we can... It was inspiring. It actually, for us, we had seen Our Lady Peace open for Blind Melon at a small little place, Lee's Palace. And then they had really impressed us. And then Navid, we got the record. And so, we pursued their producer and their, it was really, it really had altered our career pursuits. We're like, this band sounds like not from Canada. That's what we want.
Wow.
So we ended up with their same management team, and
that is awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we had sort of, they probably thought we were like the annoying young band that was trying to jump on their little bandwagon, but
well, why wouldn't you? I mean, that's sick.
Yeah, over time we come to know them well and stuff, but it definitely was a formative thing. But that Spiritual Machines idea back then was like, oh, that would be so cool.
I've been trying to get for years.
Yeah. What's that?
They won't come down this far. I've been trying to get Rain to come down here and do a show for years. And it's like, they'll go to city or they'll go somewhere like random, but not Nashville.
Oh, man. Man, so I don't know if you guys know that I have a country band called Blackie Jacket Jr.
That is literally the next thing I'm going to talk about.
Oh, okay. Because you say Nashville.
Yeah.
And it's sort of always on our bucket list to get down there and play something and do something.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be that'd be ideal. I mean, I think would take off pretty quick.
Well, we had recorded the last Finger 11 record down there in Nashville with Dave Cobb.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
As it was happening, he was just telling us about Chris Stapleton coming along.
Mm-hmm.
And he had put out the Sturgill record, and we went down there because we just thought he might be an interesting fit for rock and roll, but when we heard the records he had been making, it was like, holy shit. So one day, hopefully it'd be great to get Blackie Jacket Jr. in with Dave Cobb in the studio or something. He seems to have a magic country touch, but we learned a lot just from, we went down there to make a rock record with Finger 11, but just in seeing how they just make records differently. And it was really what we wanted was just fucking get in there and do it. It doesn't matter who's doing it, and get in and do the take, you're not punching in every second and like, let's fix it. And let's like the clinical thing. It was like, no, fuck. We want it to sound like we went to Nashville to make a record. So we got to do it how they want to do it. Right. Yep. And so that part was great, but applying it then to the country stuff that we knew we were making was like, okay, this makes sense. It's just so open.
Yeah.
Like with rock and roll, especially with a band, like where we've established our, I guess our roles in the band, it's your instinct when you get in a room together is just to play you play bass, you play guitar, like you do your job. Mm-hmm. And then we make a song. And then after a while we wonder, why do all the songs sound the same? It's like, well, because we all do the same parts, but that's what we do. So AC/DC, you don't want Angus Young to play a violin. You just want fucking parts. So we have that mentality in Finger 11 of sort of like the Beach Boys and the Beatles are awesome, but we're not going to go all orchestral because I don't know. It's a shape of dynamic of like the five of us.
Yep.
But with the country thing, it's sort of open-ended because it all starts with just a song on a guitar and a voice. And then it goes from there. So
was that Ground Studio?
What's that?
Was that Southern Ground Studio?
If that's the one that was in the back of his house, I think you're right. I think that's what it was called. I think he's since gone on to be working in like a bigger, proper Nashville studio.
Yeah.
But it was in the back, in the basement of his house.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm finding a lot more here too, is that a lot of these producers that you go and deal with here, just they've converted their garages or their basements and it's,
oh man, it's the dream.
Know. Yeah. You would never know.
Yeah. And when you're not making a record, then you can fuck around and make your record. Right. Exactly. Like it's,
because
he definitely seems to have a lot of creativity and stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so it was a real good experience in that of just getting some loose dirt on everything. And then, like I say, translating it into country music and just bringing that openness back to it. And so it's not fixed to like, you don't have to only play that part. We're just making it up. So if you want to play the rubber band, sure, you can. Who cares? We're just pissing around. So
that's what I play.
So it opened that up. And then, of course, with that, you just do something like what you did when you were young and you didn't know anything. You just make a bunch of mistakes because it doesn't matter. And I would say over time with Finger 11 and being in any relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
You just start to get really good at doing your role in it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not the most, the greatest way to start a creative fire, right? It's like you're I don't know. It's like an old marriage in a sense. You know when to stick your head up and say something, and then you know how to just go, all right, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Right, honey.
I don't want to argue about this for hours, so sure, you can have this one.
Yep.
But this one, I'm fucking standing up. We're going for it.
That's
right. So I think in a band, when you've been around a long time, you kind of figure that out, and for a good reason, in order to stay together and live in a tin can rolling down the highway. But over time, when you're making creative stuff that has to be visceral and has to bounce off each other and get ugly.
Yeah.
Sometimes, we're almost too good at being comfortable where you need to, like, we went to Nashville, we had like 15 days to do a record and we had never done that before. So it forced, like, all right, even though we're really comfortable, it's not going to be, because it's got to be quick. So that's good. That's what we want. We want the unrest of something we don't know. Right. Kind of like ties exactly to the VR thing of like, what we can't predict is really what we're looking for. Because when we do it with all the control in the world, like when it's done, we listen and we go, oh, we should go somewhere and do that. So there's something to that, right?
Well, I feel too, like some the side projects that you're doing, aside from Finger 11, I don't know, from what you're saying, it seems like those are going to keep you, grounded might not be the right word, but they're gonna make sure that you are expelling that creativity somewhere. Yeah. But I also think too that it's gonna help later on with the stuff you do with Finger 11, even if it's not gonna change drastically. It might be a technique over here, or it might be, you know, something else.
Oh yeah.
Because you're getting out of your element.
It does, for sure. Because even in the confidence, let's say, like I was talking about with singing. So with the country band, I get more and more confident to sing. Yeah. And so then when Finger 11, if I do harmonies, I would be more inclined to double everything and then do harmony and then a three-part harmony and be try to get really like ELO type of vibe.
Yeah.
And part of that would be because I love ELO.
Yeah.
And the Bee Gees and all this stuff. But part of it would be because I don't want to hear my voice by itself. So over time, now that I'm getting confident as a singer, now I choose, like, you know, the Avett brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they're just two voices. And the reason it's awesome is because it's two voices. And so there's the value to that. It's like, if this guy was doing ELO and this guy was singing this, it would be awesome in another way. But
right.
So I bring back to Finger 11 is like, okay, when we want, we can do that two voices. Cause I feel like I can do that now.
Yep.
And it just, it's really inside baseball, but I don't know. It affects me. It's like in my arsenal, it's a good weapon that I didn't have.
But I feel like if you didn't do that, I don't know, something would be weird. You know, there's something in you that obviously wanted to do those two things, wanted to do other things, wanted to be creative, yeah, and other ventures, other venues, other ways. And I think it all comes back to just simply being creative. You want to expel that creativity. Hey, I want to try this now. 10, 15 years ago, I would never have written a country song, but I got together here in Nashville with a country artist, actually, singer-songwriter, mm-hmm, who's done some pretty good things. He actually recently just passed in the last week or so, so that kind of sucks, but I got to write with him, and it was I'm coming from like metal, hard rock type, mm-hmm, you know, scenarios to, he asked me if I wanted to write with him, and I was like, what? Why would I want to? I don't understand the question. But then, you know, the more and more I got to know him, the more and more I started seeing him write with other people and how his process was. I was like, you know what? Actually, it's not a bad idea.
Out of the normal circle of things, like if you're really good at metal, maybe you'll do something weird with country. And that's what we want, right? Yeah. What I think our. One thing we did learn sort of as we started to pursue it here in Canada with a country label and country radio and all that. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really want to fall back on like the Finger 11 thing, and not out of any like Billy Bob Thornton, like don't talk about our other thing. Like it was just like, oh, you know what? We want to see what it's like to be a country band.
Yeah.
And what we learned was like, we're weirdos in country. We didn't really get embraced like we thought we would. And we learned like, oh, maybe Nashville wouldn't really want our kind of country because we're kind of the weirdo ones. And it made our job in Canada harder because what we thought, like, in a way, I think we're more country than the country artists in Canada because they don't listen to Waylon. They don't they have it's all in this weird little shoebox of like, oh, that's my dad's country or something. It's like,
right,
oh man, how can you do it without that? But I mean, I guess you could say that about all the genres, but what in doing it that way, we kind of learned like what we would hope to try to do, we did just by being rock and roll guys doing country. Like it's not fitting with country. And if we think about this hard enough, do we want to fit with country? No, we don't want to be pop people with cowboy hats. We want to be old, out of place, drunk, hungover idiots. Like that's what we want. Yeah. And like it's not to make an excuse to just go out and get fucked up, but yeah, it is in a sense. Like, let's be honest with it.
You're hanging out, man. You're hanging out, and I think too, like, you're what I'm hearing from you is like this project is something to where literally what you just said, you can just do whatever you want. You can be as creative as you'd like. You can,
yeah.
You can, you know, decide. Let's go down this direction. Let's see how this works. Let's see if this is something that is fitting for all of us. I don't know, whatever it is. And for you to be able to go and do that, for you to be able to just release that, I think it's necessary. Something has to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're making it happen is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I think it definitely was probably birthed out of necessity for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. Like, we thought that we would like the initial thing was, I had worked on a short film with a friend, actually not a short film. Like, we made this independent, like, it was a 90-minute film, and I shot it, and then I made the music for it. And at the end of it, there was like a truck stop scene, and there was a jukebox, and like, we didn't have money to buy country songs for this thing. So I was like, you know what? I'll make like 3 country songs. The scene's like 12 minutes. I'll fudge it. Yeah. And so I made these 3 fake country songs, and of that, it was enough to be like with Rick from the other guy in Blackie Jacket and Finger 11, like, yeah, let's make another one. And like, it all came out of this silly necessity from this film.
That's really
cool. When we went on the road, we thought like, oh, you know what, let's pretend. We'd seen a documentary about Hank Williams, and he had taken on this alter ego, Luke the Drifter, and he's written some of his darker tunes. So we thought, let's go out on the road and like, we'll pretend that we're like some guy who's just getting drunk every night and waking up in a town he doesn't know where he is. And like, we're old truckers. And
right.
Like, we thought that we would pretend to do that. And then just being on the road, we realized like, we don't pretend to do that. Like, we do that.
It's happening. Yeah.
So what we thought was like taking the piss out of something was actually like, we're just writing country songs because we're living the story of it. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do it, but not do it in a not so much like it's a joke anymore. Just give it a little bit more serious. It's still got to be funny and charming and all that country stuff, but it's not a fake voice anymore or something, so
it's authentic.
Yeah, just like, it's got room. We're acknowledging shit. So half of this stuff is real, so that means we could probably write some tender stuff too, and it's real.
Yeah, absolutely. And
then, then my wife's like listening to all these songs about this guy on the road with all these girlfriends and stuff, and I'm like, it's just all fake. It's just make believe.
That's right.
Never sure it is, honey. Sure.
Yeah. So she would come out to gigs, and like, there was a couple songs where she was just like, kind of. Like, it's like if you were a stand-up comic and you had like just 10 minutes of awesome wife jokes, but your wife came to see it, she's just slowly getting. If you didn't know me, you would love this stuff.
And just to make her feel it's a little bit more awkward, I would purposely on stage dedicate this segment to her. Be like, baby, this is for you. I love you. You know, when your wife, I think that.
Yeah.
But I'm a dick. So that makes sense to me. But
I would always do that. And then sort of like, this one's dedicated to you. I mean, you.
No, you.
And just kind of change it at the last second.
No, actually.
This group over here.
Yeah. No. Step aside. Yeah. No, where did she go? Oh, well.
That doesn't matter.
This one's for me then.
I have a game if you've got some time still.
Okay, yeah.
It's a Mad Lib, so we're just going to essentially
some words.
Yeah, we're going to fill in the blanks, things like that. But it's because you've been known to fill in for Evanescence here, you know.
I did do that, yes.
Periodically, there was a short brief moment.
Yeah, I did a gig in New York City, a big showcase thing, and then we flew all the way to Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I see. So, with Lizzie now doing that.
Oh man, I know that this isn't Mad Libs, but when we went to Brazil, the festival that Evanescence was on was Deftones, Sepultura.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction, Faith No More. Like, you couldn't fucking believe it. Like, I'm in the hotel lobby hanging out and getting drunk with Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, who is one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
In Brazil, filling in with Evanescence and like, holy shit, there's,
you know,
like Mike Patton across the bar there, and like, oh, Perry Farrell's walking in, and like, these are my heroes.
Yeah.
And I'm on like this hired gun gig in Brazil. Like I felt like fucking James Bond of rock kind of thing. It was awesome. Fucking awesome. And then the, like, one of the best parts was that, I happened to know, Stephen Perkins' drum tech from a tour we had done. He was a drum tech of, I can't remember who it was. And nobody on the tour knew how to roll joints. And what? So, yeah, they're like, we got this big bag of Brazilian weed and everyone's pipe smokers and nobody knows how to roll a good joint. So you got to come. And so for the 3 days, I didn't ever miss out on any joints because I got to roll them all.
Nice. Wow.
And so I don't know, man, I guess I didn't check before the podcast started whether you guys are all right with all that shit, but
oh, we're not deleting any of this stuff. This is all
but so it at some point it just ended up with like this great hot box moment. I got to hang out with like,
dude, that's cool,
my story. Rock and roll idols, and
love yeah. that,
man.
Yeah, it like that's why I said yes, was like,
yeah,
I'm picking weeds in the backyard
literally,
and Amy Lee is calling me out of the blue and says, do you want to go to Brazil? I'm like, fuck yeah, because what's gonna happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And so exactly. Yeah, like I had no idea that the bill itself was gonna be like, shit, if I was at home I would pay top dollar to want to be here at this thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it
absolutely.
Was it was pretty cool. Awesome. It was pretty special. It's weird to step into another organization like the
yeah
like Finger 11, we are Finger 11, the five, oh, I guess four of us and whichever drummer we happen to have at the time.
Yeah.
Are like the, we are it. We are the founding yeah. member. Our friendship is it. So yep. When you step out of it into another organization and it's a little bit different and it's like, holy shit, this is really weird. You take for granted like, oh shit, we don't really talk to each other or ask each other permission to do half this shit. You just yeah. do it because you're bros. You just know what you're in there for. So
yeah.
It was cool. And it's good to know that you could rise to the occasion of being a hired guy. Like, yeah. I don't know. I've never only ever been in one band. So you fancy yourself pretty good until you get into some different shoes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty interesting. It was like just a different, same genre, but totally different.
Yeah. Well, but it sounds to me like there's a lot of, you know, you're actually growing in this particular scenario. You've been starting yeah. these other projects, and that it is a creative outlet as well. But oh, I believe sure. that it's helping you grow into, you know, you into who you are and who you're going to be as well. So
yeah.
I don't think there's anything bad about any of that stuff. If you want to do something, go just at least try it, at least attempt
yeah.
it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but then you'll know.
Yeah, it's learned only the hard way, and not to sound like some shitty old man, but like you only get better at something if you keep sucking and being terrible at something
yep. yeah.
and get over it.
Yep.
And then you realize like, oh, if you apply that to everything, and I'm saying this as a guy who loves to just sit in his basement and not do a lot of things, but when you do, it's that thing like yeah. when real life starts happening and you're like across the ocean and you're playing guitar and like yeah. hanging out with Jane's Addiction, you're like, holy shit, it's good thing I didn't go with option number two of like, nah,
yeah,
that might be hard. I might feel nervous about it.
Yeah.
So I don't yeah. know that
man.
And then when they take it all away, you know, it's like, well, shit.
Man.
No, I'm going to say yes to everything now for
yeah.
forever, really.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, but I think too, you know, when we come out of this and get back to whatever we're going to call, whatever that is normal, whatever that's going to be, whatever.
Yeah.
There's going to be some things that will adjust And there'll be some things that we'll probably end up throwing away as well because they don't matter.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think you're right. This was a good opportunity to kind of self-reflect and just understand who you are and how to a lot of times even just hone your own craft or start something new or do whatever. So it's horrible and awesome all at the same time.
Yeah, it answers the question, what would you do if that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now I know.
And just to be clear, still didn't wear pants. So just wanted to be clear on that. It did not affect my pants wearing situation. So
me either.
Yeah. I've worn more shorts this year than I normally would too. Something about like from the waist down, it's like,
it doesn't matter.
The less people see, the more you regress to like, I think I'm only 6 months away from a Speedo. What's the difference?
That's new and finger son, merch.
My son wouldn't know a world any other way.
Yeah.
What do you mean your dad doesn't wear a Speedo all the time?
Yeah, mine does.
I transitioned from boxers to boxer briefs during this time point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, shit, by now, like, my boxer briefs have turned into boxers. It's been
Right. That's right. Oh, man. That's the After Hours Rockcast right there.
Oh, yeah. You started talking about bowel movements and other things, so it doesn't really it's not a big stretch.
That's true. It's not too far off.
I think even on the text to set this all up, there was some poo-poo jokes and stuff.
Oh, there have to be. If there wasn't, we should end this conversation now and just forget it.
Because how dare us?
Weird. Yeah, it's just totally weird.
Well, it's funny. That's what really getting old is all about. And not, I don't mean getting old like old man and getting old. I just mean like when you have hair on your balls, it means you're allowed to do all the poo-poo jokes you want.
Yeah.
And hemorrhoids and whatever else. That's right.
I have young kids and I keep telling them I'm looking forward to the day when you change my diapers.
Yeah.
I've been saving some up. I've been saving some up for you. So just know that my bowels, when they evacuate, when I'm older, it's not going to end well.
Every time you eat something terrible, just say, this is for you.
This is for you. I'm saving a piece of this back. I'll let some of it go because I have to, but I'm saving some of this in my colon.
Because I have to.
Just know that. Oh, anyway. I don't know. Whatever.
Dad, did you drink earlier? No, that's just diarrhea.
It's just diarrhea.
All right. Yeah. to the game, the Mad Lib.
So, yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Shit. Sorry.
Not a weird transition. And this will be the last thing we do on the show because we've already kind of gone over our time here. So I apologize,
I do that,
James.
Man.
I'm so sorry. No, that's
I do it. I talk and talk.
We're on your clock. You're not on our clock. We're on your clock. So you talk as long as you want to talk.
All right.
And this is great.
So this Mad Lib, we're gonna change the words to Evanescence, their song "Sick" is what we're gonna do here.
Sure.
And I may have made this text a little too small.
This is on.
That's good. That's good. We'll figure this crap out. Okay. So what I need, the first thing,
here it comes.
I need a verb, just a regular verb and the base form. No ing, no ed, no s. Just
a
just
verb, like throw.
Like throw.
Okay. Throw.
Throw.
Yeah.
Then I need a noun.
Stool. Oh, I guess that's, I mean, let's keep it the poopy jokes, right?
Yep, we'll see how that works out. And then I need another verb.
Basically. I guess fall.
Fall. Okay. How about, all right, one more verb.
Man, roll.
Roll. What's this guy? I need a noun.
Hammer.
Hammer. It's gonna be good.
This is gonna be good.
Another noun.
Pillow.
Okay. Okay. All right. An emotion.
Anger.
Angry.
Yeah.
Another emotion.
Will make you angry.
Another emotion. Love.
Love. Verb.
Run.
Run. Which that would be a nice sponsorship dollar figure.
Ooh, that would be
or McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the good movie, the founder.
Well, or the co-founder. I don't care. Yeah. Whatever.
McDonald's benefits from everyone only being seen from here to here from now on, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Emotion, another emotion.
I don't know. Confusion? Is that an emotion?
Confused?
Is that an emotion or just a mental state?
I think we'll pretend like that works. I need and then I need another emotion. Good Lord.
Afraid.
Yeah. Emotion. Yeah, good. You can see I'm struggling with the I'm clearly I have stunted emotions. I could
well
after three I ran out.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like
James Bot needs more social interaction. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
One more emotion. Two more emotions.
Good Lord.
I know this is retarded. I don't
I guess like what affection. What's that? Like like comforting, like maternal feeling of emotion. Caring. I guess that's caring. Caring.
Caring.
Caring. And then I'm going to do shady for the other one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not really an emotion, but we're going to think it is. Because I'm feeling pretty shady about this.
Yeah. Right? It's good to have the contrasts of like something very gentle and something very possibly not.
I like it. This should really mess people up. How about a noun?
Oh, geez, this is long, huh?
Well, there's 15 more pages.
Brick.
Brick.
That's good.
I didn't write the song, just so you know, I didn't write the song.
it's the whole song. I see.
It's the whole song. Yeah, I'm gonna start helping out though. Behind closed. So we need another noun. How about a noun would be
throw hemorrhoid in there just for me.
Yeah, hemorrhoid. Sure,
that's an adjective. I guess it could be a noun though. Let's do that.
What's
it
a noun?
It's a thing. It's a thing.
You're
it's
right.
A gremlin that grows on your butt.
It is. Some people name them. I don't know.
Mine's Mogwai.
Gizmo. Yeah, Gizmo. No.
So a noun plural. So more than one.
Oh, pigeons.
Pigeons. Oops. Okay. Did you just flutter? You just fluttered, didn't you? Okay. Another verb.
Swim. Swim. Swimming.
Swim. Let's another noun. Good Lord. Dog. Parker, give me a noun.
A noun?
A noun.
A noun.
Bicycle?
A noun. A noun.
Bicycle. Bicycle. Oh, yeah. We do that with no matter what word you say, we can make a song.
That's right. It will happen. Another noun.
Gremlin.
Gremlin.
Nice.
Oops. Bicycle. Oh, good. That's in my head now. Fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Emotion. Let's do emotion would be like
excited,
I guess. Yeah, let's do that. We're running out of emotions. That sounds like a country song
between
right
three
there.
Of us. Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
All right, another emotion.
Have you done sad yet? Depressed?
Depressed.
There you go. It's time.
We're almost done. We're almost done. Again, I did not write this song. So it's not on me. That's a verb. I need another verb.
Another verb.
Maybe
jump.
Jump.
That's good.
Good Lord, that's a very emotional song. Another emotion. So
very verbose song.
Verbose.
Verbose. How low can you go?
How low can you go?
It's not like a digital. Like, how low can you go?
Can yeah. you go?
Yeah.
You can spell or whatever that was. Yeah.
So good.
Hmm. Is yeah. Tired is an emotion. We're gonna do that.
That is. Yeah.
One more emotion. What's it, we done? Happy?
Paranoid.
Paranoid. Ooh. I'm doing that. Okay. Oops. You serious with me there, Clark?
There, okay. Clark.
More emotions. More emotions. This is going to be awesome. I promise. This is going to be
lonely.
Lonely.
No, did we already say that?
Nope.
Nope.
Doesn't matter. It's going in there again.
it's evanescence, so it's okay.
Fine.
She's lonely a lot.
That's right. Another emotion. So let's do like what did we just do? We did
paralyzer.
Paranoid. So let's do satisfied.
Ooh.
Noun.
Guitar.
One more noun. Let's
finger.
Do what is it?
Finger.
What is it? Finger. Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is gonna get yep. good. Yeah, that's how we roll. It's very weird on this show. Verb. I fart.
Yeah.
Can I say fart?
That works. Yeah, it's a verb, it's a noun.
And then we're almost done. Noun.
Banjo. Oh no, I already said guitar. Forget that.
Boom. Okay.
That was good.
Car.
No. Car. Oh my God. They're getting specific now. A verb present ends in ing. Dude, come on, man.
Joking.
Joking. That's got to be it.
Here we go.
Emotion would, let's do tickled.
Yeah, this is going to get weird.
It's going to be really weird. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All the beards.
Another.
Weird beard.
The weird beards. Another emotion. We're running out of emotions.
Surprised? Or surprise?
Sure, yeah.
We're using it. That's happening. Okay. A verb target. Emotion. Good Lord.
Relieved.
Relieved. And good Lord, this is a. Most of them are. I have five left, and I need.
Are they verbs?
Three emotions.
Oh Jesus!
Anxious. That's
three honest. Grown men in modern society
can't come up with it.
Can come up with three emotions.
We
should redo the whole podcast and just talk about that.
Talk about emotions. We can't.
We need to get a therapist at the end.
We need to start a new side project to get our emotions.
Can we just call Insecure? It? How about? Is that a good
Ooh.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's really get into it here.
Why didn't we think of that one sooner?
We're too busy being riddled with it.
Yes. So content.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Emotion.
A good okay. one. My mind never goes to those places.
Mine.
Oh yeah. There's a whole spectrum of like happy and nice.
A positive. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
actually, I already said miserable. What's another one?
Positive is a good one. Okay. And then two more. I've got two nouns.
Two nouns. Okay.
Two nouns.
Let's say shoe.
shoe.
And table.
Table. All right. Are you ready? This is it. This is the Mad Lib for Evanescence and their song Sick.
I forgot what we were doing. Yeah.
We did. It's a long half an hour. Again,
I thought we were Mad Libbing the whole entire Bible or Lord of the Rings, close. All three books.
Yeah, there's 17 pages now. I added two more pages just so we're all clear. I didn't think that was enough. So more. Here we go. Throw the stool because there's nothing that can change the way I fall. Take all that you wanted. Now there's nothing that can change the way I roll. Ooh, that sounds nice, actually. Hold on, little hammer, because the pillow is soon to come. Angry of it all. Love of it all. We will not run. Confused of it all, afraid of it all. They don't understand how caring we are, shady we are, of this bottomless pit of brick. Behind closed hemorrhoid, pigeons between us, and there's nothing that can change the way I swim. I can still taste the dog. Every fall, every breath are ways to heal.
Taste the dog.
Hey, yeah, that's right. Hold on, little bicycle. The gremlin is soon to come. Excited of it all. Depressed of it all. We will not jump. Tired of it all. Paranoid of it all. They don't understand how lonely we are. Satisfied we are. Of the bottomless pit of guitar. Behind closed finger. Somebody will know the feeling someday. I will fart through. And nothing you tell yourself will save us from the car joking out. Tickled of it all. Surprised of it all. We will not target. Relieved of it all, insecure of it all. They don't understand how content we are, positive we are, of this bottomless pit of shoe behind closed table.
Okay, I liked it.
That's it.
Yeah, right, that was good. There was some really good stuff in the middle there.
I don't know if it was worth the 20 minutes that it took us to do it, but
I think it was quite literally a emotional exercise.
That it really was. I was not actually prepared.
And I think we failed.
Horribly, miserably. And I'm the one who picked this. I looked over and I was like, we got this. We got this. Clearly, we did not have it.
Good at verbs, I think.
Yeah. If we could just do one with that, I think we'd be all right. Anyway. Oh, my gosh. James, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Oh, I think, good.
Yeah, good. I haven't been on social media since
for you.
Everything went dark. So
That's awesome.
I'm not sure I intend to go back. I'm not sure. I have to find a way to get some daylight on myself, but I'm not quite sure. So there is jamesblack.ca, which is my website up here. But
nice.
Spotify and iTunes, I have a solo record, James Black. And Finger 11 has got stuff. It's some of it's ready to go and some of it's in the process.
Yeah.
And on YouTube and blackyjacketjr.com, we just put out a cover of Ace of Spades. So that just came out last week, actually. So check that out. And nice. We're working on some new stuff with that, too. Making videos and things for all that stuff and for some Finger 11 stuff. So I've been staying busy with that too. So usually on like the YouTube channels of Finger 11, Blackie Jackie Jr., that stuff.
Yeah. Very cool.
I know.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Rock and roll. Dude, we appreciate you hanging out with us tonight.
It's a good time.
Taking the time.
Yeah.
You could have gone anywhere and you horribly chose here. Yeah. So,
I regret it, but whatever.
Yep. You have to. It's all regrets from here on out. We do appreciate that. We're looking forward to some new music all the way around. We've talked a lot about new music tonight, and I'm pretty excited about that. So
yeah, there's some good stuff coming. I promise that.
For sure. I agree. What's up? Huh?
I said we're pumped.
We are pumped. Yeah, we are pumped. Ooh, that would have been a good one. Write that one down for next time.
All right.
Pumped.
That's it.
Yeah.
I wrote it.
All right. Well, rock and roll. Again, thanks, James. We appreciate you being on the show with us. If you guys want to know more about what's going on with Rockcast, all you got to do is go to rockcastshow.com and click around there. It's very simple, very easy. If you are not familiar with websites, go away. You're worthless to us.
It's a bit late now.
doesn't matter at all. We're on all the socials. If you want to listen to us again, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to listen to us, we are on every podcast platform available that's worth anything. You can watch us. You're missing half of it if you don't watch the show. It's on YouTube. Go subscribe. Go share it with a friend. Go share it with an enemy. Make a bigger enemy. I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Rockcastshow.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you quite a bit, actually. Probably more than your parents, really, at this point. So just so you're aware. All right, cool. Bye, guys. Hey, what's up, guys? Eric and Parker here from Rockcast. We have conversations with rock stars. You can check out rockcastshow.com for more info about us. You've been hearing us talk a little bit about MyPillow and the great products that they have. I know you're probably saying, Eric, what could conversations with rock stars and sleeping have in common? Well, we'll tell you.
There's nothing better than hitting a mattress with not just one layer, not two. We're talking three amazing layers of comfort. That's right. That's MyPillow. Now, let me tell you about it. The first layer is the MyPillow patented foam. Now, layer two has the transitional foam. And of course, finally, we come to layer three, which could be the most important layer of all. And that is because the body temperature is regulated throughout the entire night from their phase change material.
Again, use promo code ROCKCAST or 800-646-5719. That's 800-646-5719 for up to 66% off. Isn't it time that you had a good night's sleep?